Parshas Korach, as we know, speaks a lot about the story of Korach va'Adaso and their fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. In the context of that whole story, the Torah tells us, "Va'idaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron lemor." Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron, and he tells them, he gives them instructions. "He badlu mitol ha'eda hara hazos." I want you to separate, to disassociate, and remove yourselves completely from this group of Korach va'Adaso. Once again, the Torah says in our parsha, "Daber el ha'eda leimar." Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Eda, "Hey, alu misaviv lamishkan Korach dasan va'aviram." Elevate and raise yourselves up from this influence of Korach va'Adaso and stay far away from them. And what you see that the Torah is trying to teach us is that it's not good enough for a person not to be involved in something that is a negative initiative. It is important also that we absolutely separate and disassociate ourselves completely, elevate ourselves from that which is a negative initiative going on in our community, which the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos very clearly as a general rule of life. Derech b'yoso shel ha'adam, writes the Rambam, human nature is such. Lios nimshach b'de'osav uv'masav achar chaverav, says the Rambam, it is only natural for a human being to be drawn and to be pulled in de'osav, in the way we think, and masav, in the way we act, achar chaverav, after the way that we see our community act, after the way our atmosphere, our environment seems to be behaving. And therefore, lefikach tzarach ha'adam lehischaber letzadikim. Therefore, it is important for a person to make themselves be found in an atmosphere of righteous people. Veleishev etzel hachachamim tamid, says the Rambam, you should always do your best to be in the kind of conditions where you're going to have wise people around you. Kedesha yilmad mi ma'aseihem, writes the Rambam, v'yisrachek min harishayim. One has to be careful, like we're taught in our parsha, to be merachek themselves, to distance as much as possible from the rishayim. Kedesha lo yilmad mi ma'aseihem, v'chein im haye b'medina shemin hagerayim. If you have a member in your community, or if you have an entire community that seems to be going in a negative way, says the Rambam, this is an important rule for life, that a person has to be careful that they separate and completely disassociate from not only Korach va'Adaso, but the modern day Korach va'Adaso, which is the people in your community who really have a negative influence on your way of life. The Michtav Me'Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, one of the great Bali Musa, writes, and I think it's a very important insight, because we all, anyone who has children, thinks about the fact, we don't want our children to be negatively influenced or impacted by this kind of issue and that kind of thing. B'nei Adam Choshvim, writes the Michta Melio, many adults think, Shehashbaz Hasaviva Osaroshim Chashuv Rak Al Yiladim V'chalushe Hadas. Many of us as adults think that the only ones who are going to be influenced are our children, or those of us who might not have strong personalities, so you're going to be easily drawn to something which is a negative impact. Avol Enokein, he says, this is not the case at all. Hasviva osa roshim afilu alachi gadol. The environment, the conditions that you find yourself in, can have a negative influence even on a person who is a very intelligent individual, even on an adult, somebody who is very much on their own way of life. No rose lehistome me'erech hasaviva. One has to be so careful from the environment that they choose to put themselves in, because he says it is not only a fear for children, it is something that adults need to think about very carefully as well. The Gemara says in Masechah Shavuos Daf Lamed, a fascinating halacha. The Gemara there in Masechah Shavuos is talking about various procedures when it comes to a bezdin. So the Gemara says that when you have great Talmid HaChachamim, and you have a Dayan, who is the head of the Bezdin, sitting at the head of the table, he is the one who is going to adjudicate the case, say who's right, say who's wrong. So it says, Aser l'dayan l'haniach l'talmid bur, l'sheves l'fanav bidin. A number of times in my life, I've been invited to come and watch. Get some shimush, get some experience. You want to come and watch a person who knows how to deal with batei dinim, you want to watch a person who knows how to listen to a case and to deal with a divorce or to deal with a couple or different kinds of things, you come into the room and you sit there quietly and you listen. Says the Gemara, when you have a din Torah, you are not allowed to invite somebody into the room who is a Talmud Bur. What does it mean, a Talmud Bur? Talmud Bur means you have sometimes a Talmud who is a wonderful student, who is very sincere, but he knows nothing about the process. He knows nothing about the system. He's totally uneducated. He knows nothing about what's going on here. So you can't just be gracious and invite that person into the room, because there's something serious going on here. We can't just have people sitting around. Well, the Rishonim are bothered. What does it bother anybody if you have this Talmud sitting in the back of the room, keeping quiet, minding his own business? Let him feel good. Let him have a seat at the table. Obviously, we're not going to listen to him, so who cares? And the Rishonim say, and this is quoted in the Tur LaHalacha and Chosha Mishpat, in Hilchos Dayanus, the Tur writes, the answer is because we're concerned that in the middle of the Din Torah, the Talmud is going to sit there. He's going to hear something interesting that he's never heard before. It's going to be new to him, even though it's not new to everybody else sitting there. And he's going to start to be misvakeach im rabo. He's going to start to just ask questions and challenge the position of his Rebbe. Not because he has any really intelligent thoughts, just because he knows nothing about it, so he wants to be educated. And he's going to start questioning, and he's going to start challenging, and the Rebbe's going to get so confused by this Talmud who doesn't know what he's talking about, that he's going to end up saying the wrong psak as a result of that person sitting in the room. And writes the Tur, this is the reason why we have to be so careful not to have those kinds of people present at the time. So, one of the Balei Musar I once saw suggests, really, are you concerned? Imagine, who do you think is sitting at the head of the Beis Din? You have in Eretz Yisrael, you have the Rosh Av Beis Din is usually the Rav HaRashi. So you had Rav Avadi Yosef sitting there at the head of the table. He was a bucky in all of Shas and all of Shulchan Aruch and all of everything that one can ever learn in life. He knows it on his fingertips. He doesn't need anybody's help. So he's sitting there. He has two other Talmidei Chachamim sitting with him on the Din Torah. They know where the case is going. They know exactly what they're going to say. And they have one imbecile sitting in the back of the room. And we're concerned that because of this guy, Rav Avadi Yosef is going to get thrown off and he's going to get confused and he's not going to say the right thing. And the answer is yes. Yes, because the atmosphere makes a big difference. And even if you have one person there who happens to be saying something that is totally off, that is totally misguided, that is totally unintentional, but still, it's something that's totally off point, that can be something that will ruin the entire atmosphere here. Now again, obviously one has to be careful to be sensitive in the way that you choose who goes in, who goes out. But at the same time, the Tur writes that this is something one has to be very careful to be use their own discretion. How you choose to surround yourself is something that is very, very important. Now that does not mean that as Jews we surround ourselves with only the elitist, you know, the smartest and the brightest. That's not the way we operate. In fact, the Gemara says in a number of places, one is in Yevamos, and the Gemara has in a number of places, that the Gemara draws a distinction. When the Torah says the word Adam, it refers to Klal Yisrael, it refers to the Jewish people. When the Torah uses the word Ha-Adam, that refers to Umas Ha-Olam, that refers to all the other nations of the world, all the non-Jews in the world. And the question is raised, and that is an obvious one. Why is it that when the Torah says Adam, it means all of us, it means the Jews? When the Torah says Ha-Adam, it means only the non-Jews. How do you know to draw that distinction? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested very beautifully that perhaps the reason why is because we as Jews do not believe in singling out people and saying we only have a right to hang around with the elitists. We only have a right to hang around with those people who are on the upper echelons of society, the real brilliant people, the real intelligence, the real politicians, whoever it might be. We don't believe in that. We believe that every Pashut Yid, that every Jew has a seat at the table, that every Jew has something special that they can contribute, as something interesting, as something important that they can do for the community. And therefore, we don't believe in Ha-Adam. Ha-Adam means the person with the Hey Hayadiyah. The Umas Ha-Olam, that's the way they travel. I can't hang out, I can't spend time with somebody who's not in my socioeconomic status, I can't spend time with somebody who might not be as wealthy as I am, with somebody who might not have as good a job as I am, with someone who's not as chashuv as I am. That's not the way we operate, it's not the way we think. But yet at the same time, the Rambam warns us in Hilchos Deos that one has to be careful. Not that we should draw distinctions between those who might be from the upper echelons of society and those who might not, but one has to choose very carefully who they choose to surround themselves with, because we know that our community, and we know that our climate, our atmosphere has a tremendous impact, a tremendous impression on who we are. And perhaps this is what it means when we say every day in Ashrei, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. You ever think about those words? What does it mean? Praise is a person who sits in your house. What's the great feat of a person coming and sitting in the house of Hashem if you're not going to do anything there? It should say Ashrei. Praise is a person who comes to the house and who does something there, and who actually davens, or who actually learns, and who participates in all that's going on in the house of Hashem. And the answer is no. There's value even in the person who's Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. There's value even in the person who shows up and who does nothing but just sit there. I just had a story this past week. I was amazed. A guy came over to me. I spoke Shalashudas this past week in Shul, and I gave a 20-minute shiur about Hafrashas Challah. So somebody came over to me right before Shalashudas. He said, Rabbi, I never come to the shiur. I just want you to know I came special because I heard you were speaking and I like to hear you speak, so I came. I said, oh, that's very nice. I felt so good about myself. Sunday morning, He rolls his window down as I'm coming into shul. He says, Rabbi, you know, I was so happy that I was here at the shir yesterday. I really listened carefully. I said, okay. So he tells me, I went home and my wife asked me, you chose not to eat shalosh shudos with me. You went to hear the rabbi in shul. At least tell me what he said. So he said, he told his wife that the rabbi spoke about hachnasas kala. That's what he told her. And he just asked me Sunday morning. He said he was trying to reconstruct what I said. He couldn't figure out how it came back. Why didn't I have enough time to figure out how to tie it back into a chasana? If the whole thing was about Achnasas Kala, how did I miss the point? How did I not figure out how to tie back into a chasana? I said to myself, how beautiful. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. Somebody could sit through a 20-minute shiur. He's wide awake. He's paying attention. He thinks I'm talking about Achnasas Kala. Meanwhile, I'm giving a whole shiur about how fresh is Chala. Two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other at all. And yet, he gets schar, he gets credit for being Yoshvei Beisecha, for sitting in the right atmosphere, for being in the right place, instead of being at a shalashudas where everyone's talking Lashon Hara, where we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, where we're talking about things we shouldn't be talking about on Shabbos. We choose to spend our time at the shir, even if we don't understand anything. That's what it means. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, how beautiful it is that a person is choosing to spend their time in an environment, in a Beis HaKnesses, even if nothing more than just that comes out from the entire experience. I know the Medrash has an amazing story. It's a sad story, but it's an amazing one about the famous Yosef Meshisa. So I don't know if everybody knows about Yosef Meshisa, but the Medrash tells us he lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Romans were coming in, they wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they decided they didn't want to be the first ones to go in and start wreaking havoc in the Beis HaMikdash, so they choose one of the Jews as the volunteer to be the one to go in and start making a mess in the Beis HaMikdash. They single out Yosef Meshisa, they send him in on the daring mission, they want him to go ahead and be the one to defile the Beis HaMikdash first before they go, and they tell him, go inside, take out one of the expensive kalim and bring it out, that we should be able to bring it back to Rome with us. So he goes inside, he looks around, he says, look, I have no choice, what am I going to do? They're holding a gun to my head. So he goes inside, he starts looking around, and he doesn't know what to take, and he says to himself, look, the most expensive and beautiful item in the Beis HaMikdash is the menorah. Just one big slab of gold in one place, and it's something I can actually carry. Picks up the menorah, hangs it over his shoulders, and he starts walking out of the Beis HaMikdash with the menorah. He goes to the Romans and he says, here, here's the menorah, take it. And the Romans say to him, Ein darko shel hedyot lishtamish bazu. It's very nice, but you know, we can't take this menorah home. If we're going to put it in our homes, it's going to be so obvious that it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to take something that's reasonable for us to take. So he said, you know what, go back into the Beis HaMikdash. Go return the menorah, maybe do something a little simpler than stealing the menorah. Give us maybe a golden pan, a golden spoon, something that we can take home, an artifact from the Beis HaMikdash. Yoshim Meshisha goes back in, he returns the menorah, and he says, I am not going to bring anything else out. And he responds to them by saying, Lo dai shech asti lelokai pamachas. Is it not bad enough that I made God angry once already, that I went in and I took the menorah, now you want me to go again? I absolutely want to have no part in this. I don't want to go again. And he refuses. And they start threatening his life. And they tell him if he doesn't go in, they're going to make him suffer. And in the end, Nasno Asar b'chamor shel charashim v'hayu menasrim bo. They were stoning him. They were doing terrible things to him. They tied him onto the back of a horse. They were dragging him through the streets. And as that was going on, he said to himself, I still can't believe that I made God angry by taking out the menorah. So the Mefarshim ask, I don't understand. The first time when Yosef Meshisa is asked to go inside to the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't put up any resistance. No fight. He goes right ahead. He says, look, they're holding a gun to my head. He goes in, he takes the menorah, he brings it out, gives it to the Romans, and that's the end of the story. All of a sudden, when he's asked to go back the second time to return the menorah and just take something simpler, now he says, oh, I can't do it. I can't make God angry. I don't want to get involved. Why didn't he think of that the first time? And the answer that some Mefarshim on the Medrash give is, because Yosef Meshisa was influenced just by being in the Beis HaMikdash for 30 seconds. He walks into the confines of the Beis HaMikdash for a negative purpose, to steal the menorah, to defile the Beis HaMikdash. But being in a place like that itself is enough to make an impact on a person. And therefore, Yosef Meshisa, when he walked in to take that menorah, after going in just that one time, he already was convinced, I can't do this again. I can't have any part in this. I'm going to do my job now, but I will never have anything more to do with this horrible act that I'm involved in now, because I don't want to. Just by being in the Beis HaMikdash alone, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, that was enough for him to be convinced that this is the wrong way of life. That's exactly what the Rambam says. And that's what the Pasuk means in our Parsha. He badlu mitocha eda hara azos. It's not good enough just for a person to make sure that they don't get involved in negative activities in the world. It has to be something stronger. It has to be absolute detachment. He badlu. You cannot have any part of it. Like the Rambam says, it's only natural for a human being to be drawn. That's the way we all are. We're all human beings. It's not only children. It's adults as well. We all have the same tendency. And it's something we have to be careful about. Let's close with a Medrash and Sefer Mishlei. On the Pasuk, Holeich el Chachamim Yechgam. It says, somebody who goes to a Chacham will become smart. Ask the Medrash, really? What does that mean? By osmosis, you just stand next to the Talmud Chacham, all of a sudden you'll become a Talmud Chacham? I'll sign up for that. That sounds easy enough. Just spend your whole life sitting next to a Talmud Chacham. You never have to work hard. And then you're going to become a Talmud Chacham on your own, says the Medrash. It's not what it means. What it means is, Mashal Amisha Nichnas Dechanuso Shalbosim. If a person walks into a store that sells perfume. So the Medrash tells us, even though you're just walking around the store, and in the end it turns out you don't bring anything home with you. Everything's too expensive, or you don't like the way it smells, or whatever it might be, it doesn't fit exactly to your liking. Still, says the Medrash, Hu Yotze Verecho Vareach Begadav Nivusamim. You will walk out of there smelling better than you smelled before you came in. Whether you end up purchasing an item or not, whether you bring anything home with you, it doesn't make a difference. You are still going to smell better. Says the Medrash, that's what happens when a person chooses to live life in a way of Holeich El Chachamim Yechgam. If you spend your life surrounding yourself by great people, by people who are living lives of meaning, by people who are living lives of integrity, of understanding, of a higher purpose in life, says the Medrash, by osmosis, yes, you're not going to become a Talmud Chacham, but you will come out smelling better than you were before you had any connection to these people. The environment is so important, and that's why it's so critical when HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha, not once but twice, he bade mitocha eda razo, stay far away from these people and completely disassociate. But that's not enough. After that, he tells them, hey alu, you have to also elevate yourself, you also have to lift yourself up and make sure that you have absolutely no part in this. Not that we believe in elitism, but when one spots out a Russia, when one spots out a negative influence in the community, it is important that you stay as far away from such a thing as you possibly can.